at rwjf.org.
WMNF 88.5 Tampa. You're about to listen to the Urban Cafe.
First of all, what you are doing is monumental.
What you do is so important here.
I think of you all as giving us a perspective on popular culture.
I appreciate the discussion, and you know, it's a really kind of complicated one.
My comment is towards...
I want to go back to a caller called about he had a bed bug problem.
You know, you're the next generation of MNF.
And everybody can do that.
And your real voices and what you really think and what you're really concerned about.
Yes, my name is Brian. I'm calling from Winter Haven.
Yes, I was wondering if we could talk about...
You're bringing it out, and then you let your listeners call in and text in.
But you're also giving us perspective on how it impacts real people's lives.
And I just like to say that each of your topics is so fascinating.
People don't think it's a big deal, but I think that's a really big thing.
And that's what's so important.
And that's the qualitative difference in what you're doing.
The Urban Cafe welcomes your opinion. Join the conversation. Call now, 813-239-9663.
Right here on 88.5 WMNF Tampa. To enjoy some of the highlights from the number one show in the worst times.
They hate us because they ain't us.
That's not what it is.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
I think you guys are going to be a younger version of Amy Goodman. I can see you with the right. I can see you, not to say WMNF is good, but you can be syndicated and still be a WMNF. And I think you will be a voice for young people around the country and, like they say, around the world.
Well, that's the big problem. There is no central place that educates us on credit. It comes from our parents. And it passes down.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is,
if your parents got bad credit,
then they pass that down.
Wow.
And that's what perpetuates this bad credit cycle. If you look at certain people and be like, man, they're always doing good. No, it's not by chance. They've educated their children. They've trained their children. That's one of the things they don't teach in school. They don't teach in college.
Yeah.
There is no course on credit or financial freedom.
Right. Thank you.
And that's the problem.
Sam?
Yeah, well, one of my new favorite phrases. We're going to zoom out.
Sure.
No, just tell us about yourself. Where you from? Which school? Kids? Wife?
My name is Joe Butler. As you all know, I'm from Detroit, Michigan.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here you come. Gotta have some good credit or something coming from us.
Came in here with the fedora.
Yeah, but I'm from Detroit. I have two children who I'm already on their heads about credit. My daughter will tell you, I got good credit. She's 4 years old.
She's four. That's what's up.
That's in my house. I have a very good passion for this because I'm on the opposite side of the coin. My parents didn't have good credit. They never taught me about credit. So coming up young, naturally, my credit was shot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I go to get a car and you get that sinking feeling when they say, yeah, let's go check your credit. And we all had that sinking in our feeling in our gut like, man,
I just sneak out. I just sneak out. Where's the bathroom at?
But the beauty of it is we don't have to.
Yeah.
We don't have to. With the right knowledge, with the right education, we can go in there like a boss with your chest out. Be like, nah, I want this. That's too much. I don't want that.
Uh-huh.
And they'll bend to you.
You shared with me a story about good credit in Davis Island. Can you share that story?
Yeah. Approximately 2 months ago, we were looking for an investment property.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm going to tell you right now, just having good credit, that don't do it. What we try to do is teach you beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we went to Davis Island to check out a rental property that we were going to put on Airbnb.
Mm.
So apartment was $2,700 a month. And we went in there. The guy, you know, is giving us the thing, giving us the runaround, showing us the place. And he goes in and telling us, well, okay, you can fill out this application, bring out this employment verification, and you have to make three times the amount. And I asked him, I said, well, I'm self-employed, so how do you want me to bring this? And he said, well, it kind of depends on your credit, you know. And I was like, well, my credit is, you know, right above 800. And the guy stopped. And he said, above 800? I said, yeah. And he said, well, you don't have to worry about that. And I said, no. And he said, I tell you what. He said, you bring me a check for $99, and I'll run your credit. And if it's 800 or above, you can move in now, and you don't have to pay any rent until June.
Mm.
And mind you, this was the end of April.
Wow.
And this is the catcher. This is the kicker. I told him, I said, well, man, I forgot my checkbook, so I'm going to have to come back. And a man told me, he said, well, don't worry about it. Let me run your credit anyway. If it's over 800, we'll give you the keys. Stop. And you can bring back the check tomorrow.
Stop it.
$3,000. No first month, no last month, no security deposit.
And this was just renting it?
This was renting.
Wow.
And I've had people come to my office telling me, hey, I need 3 months worth of check stubs, because we do tax work as well. But people come and say, hey, I need 3 months worth of check stubs because I'm trying to get this place.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, wow, well, how much is the place? It's $800 a month. But her credit score was like 585.
Mm-hmm.
But she had to bring 3 months of check stubs. I didn't have to bring anything when this thing is $2,700 a month. Actually, he was going to let me get the keys and come back the next day to pay $99.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing.
Let's make some noise for good credit.
I know that's right. So that reminds me that, you know, you get special treatment. Even though, you know, it made me think about, you know, him stopping and being like, wait a minute, what? Yeah. Like, did he believe you at first? Because you are a black man with a credit score over 800. That's, you know, that's number one.
Unicorn.
Yeah. So what was his biggest shock? Was it that you know?
It was the credit score.
Yeah.
I mean, because not only by being black, white, it doesn't matter, especially in our community. That's not prevalent, you know. A good credit score, not at it. I mean, you ask somebody their credit score, they put their head down and they start mumbling. They become a mumble rapper. It's like, hey,
bad and bougie.
You know?
That was funny. Jamal has a question for you.
That's an amazing story. Because it looks like, I guess in essence, credit is kind of like a snapshot, I guess, of you, how companies judge you. And my questions is, what are some of the things you can really, do to help people out?
Well, the first thing you have to understand is that credit revolves around everything we do in our day-to-day lives, okay? You have three main things in your life: food, shelter, transportation, employment. Credit embodies all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
If you have bad credit, over 47% of employers now are checking credit to get a job.
That.
Now, we're not talking about the McDonald's, the Walmarts. You know, those are for really younger people. But when you start getting up in life and really trying to get progress in your future, they want to know what your credit's like.
I want to know why, though. I want to know why. What?
Because if you can't handle your personal finances, why want you in my business running mine?
My friend up in New York.
That's great.
That sounds like a lawsuit coming on.
But, you know, talking about dating, and you guys know I'm a relationship coach. I had a conversation with someone not long ago, and I was like, you know, when you're preparing for marriage, sometimes it's, not even sometimes, all the time, it's like, you need to get your life together. And a lot of people are, you know, especially I'm going to talk, you know, growing up and you're in a spiritual environment, church and all of this, they don't educate you. They don't educate you and say, hey, they, you know, spiritually you should get married because you don't want to fornicate and this and that and the third. But they don't say, this is what you need to do before you get married, though.
Point.
A lot of people don't do
you
that.
You might need to go to a different church then.
No.
really get that.
Did that. Well, not from my church, you did. Every church I've been to ever, you always do that.
People like Joe Butler needs to go inside of these churches who are not talking about it and teach these people, and so that they can have seminars and stuff at these churches who aren't teaching it.
And literally preach to the choir.
And the congregation.
I got a question, because you talked about, I thought it was a funny thing that your daughter now is all, a four-year-old is all excited about having good credit. So what do we do? Like Monopoly doesn't look like, it looks just, that's a game of greed. I don't know if you want to teach your children, you know, how to screw people out of money. But so what do you do? And there aren't a whole lot of toys. Right, for boys or girls, that teach them to write checks, balance a checkbook. Why is it good to save? What can I do with it? So what are some things, I know your kid's young, but I mean, so what are some of the things that parents can actually start doing, teaching their children about that?
Well, the thing is you don't leave them in the dark. Mm-hmm. You take them with you. You explain. My children come to my office with me. They sit down. I give them tasks to do. My son is 10. I told him, guess what you're doing for the summer? Hey, you're working at the office.
I know that's right.
And he's sitting there with me, and he's learning all about his credit, his financial future, and everything right there at once. But you gotta teach it to him. You gotta show it to him. You gotta lead it by example. Most people don't worry about their credit until they're needed.
Right.
And then it's too late.
That's
you know, once their car breaks down, like, man, I need a new car. That's when they think about their credit. You can't think about it then. And another thing that you were saying on saving, people are sometimes shocked because I tell them, look, don't save your money. Don't save your money. No,
oh,
don't save
this.
It.
Right. I got to hear your interpretation.
And this
on
is
that.
The interpretation. If you have, say you have $5,000 worth of credit card debt,
uh-huh.
okay, and you're saving your money. The thing is, if you're not paying that credit card debt in full, guess what? If you have a subprime credit score, that means you're paying anywhere between 14 and 19% interest on that $5,000.
Uh-huh.
What is your check? What is your savings account paying you in interest? Maybe 2%, 3%. That way, that's what, 16% interest that you're losing by saving that money instead of just paying it to that credit
gotcha.
Card company saying, hey, get this thing off
right,
me.
Right, right.
Because
gotcha.
That's a massive amount of money, especially
well,
over
Joe,
time.
I want to comment on that because, of course, it's always wise to save for a rainy day. We do
yes.
have to have some savings for a rainy
it's
day.
It's been raining all week. I'm broke.
Exactly. You know, layoffs happen at any moment. You may just want to walk out. But I think, you know, the point that you're making is, and maybe you can touch on this a little bit more, as far as there's a certain percentage of your balance of credit that should basically that should be accounted for, as far as maybe you shouldn't have 90% filled up on your credit card, and maybe you need to keep that at a 30% level or what have you. Can you touch on that if you
that,
know where I'm
that,
going with that?
That is a very, very excellent thing. Let me tell you what your credit score is compromised of. A lot of people don't know this,
uh-huh.
okay? There's five major things that compromises your credit score, okay? The first one is your payment history, okay? Payment history takes up about 35% or makes up 35% of your credit score. So if you're late on your payments, that's a big no-no. That's the biggest hit you're going to take. So by all means, don't miss those payments. If you have a banking account, beautiful thing, you can set up automatic payments. Set up the minimum. At least set up the minimum to come out and be paid without you doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
That alone will boost your credit score because you will eliminate those late payments. The second thing, I sound like I don't know. Hold on.
No, you're right.
While he's doing that,
right.
let's take a pause real quick and take a phone call. We have someone calling out of, we don't know. He's an anonymous caller. Okay. You are live and on air. Hello, caller.
Greetings and thanks for taking my call.
Okay,
yes.
What's your comment? Yes, what's your quick comment?
The reason I want to be anonymous is because if I say anything personal about me, I don't want, Okay.
All right.
So, first off, shouldn't the person with the best credit score be the person that doesn't owe anybody any money?
Oh, great.
No, not necessarily. That's not how it works.
I know that's not how it works, and that's why I called in. That's what's so unfair. You don't get a credit card unless you owe people money. The only way that you get credit scores is to be in debt, which is a foolish thing to be in the first place. You don't want to be in debt. And the reason employers are looking at your credit score is not to find out what your history of payment is. It's finding out whether or not you're going to be an economic slave to them. Now, don't take my word for it. You'll have a great show on WF called Economic Update. That has Richard Wolff.
Richard Wolff, yeah, great show. Oh, I love that show.
Yeah, he talks a great deal about this whole idea about credit and why we've become a credit society, and that what we've done is use credit, even at the government levels, to buy things we can't afford. That's what credit is all about. And credit scores are not the mechanism that you say they are. They're a mechanism to keep you indebted and to know that you're a person that's going to use credit. Okay, I myself have made a habit since I got a first credit card when I was 18. I'm 62 now. When I got that credit card, I spent money buying gas and stuff like that. And then the bill would come due at the end of the month, and I didn't have any money because I was spending the money in my pocket. Everything I buy, it comes out of my pocket. I paid cash for my house. I didn't even get a mortgage. I don't have a credit score. Not because I don't have good, I should have good credit. It's because I don't owe anybody any money.
Okay.
All right,
yeah.
Great,
yeah.
Great.
Thank you.
Let me just to add to that. I was out of the country for 20 years. right? So I, and this was in my prime earning time. I got, like, when I came back, I assumed my credit score was going to be stellar. I was going to have 800, 900. I was going to be the poster child for anyone who wanted good credit, right? I get there, and I've been off the grid so long, I had no credit. To his point, I had to borrow money and pay it back in order to even get that process started, right, to show that I was capable of paying.
All right, Jamal, and then we're going to go to Mr. Butler.
Yeah, the caller, unfortunately, and he just doesn't fully understand, I apologize, I wish he was still here, how credit works, because you don't have to owe someone debt. And I know a guy in Detroit. I was living in Detroit, from Flint, Michigan, Joe.
You don't have to owe someone debt. But
no, you don't, because what it is you used to benefit yourself. This guy in Detroit was about 21 years old. What he did was smart. What he did was he had cash, right? He would go out, get a loan for $1,000, pay it back. Get credit cards, do that. He had about a 770, 780 credit score at 21. But what that entitles you to do is leverage your money. Because at the same time that I was selling cars, we sold cars together. People come in, buy a Saturn. Or save, buy a car. But you're not using the system to your advantage. You can actually have a very high credit score and owe nobody any money. It's just about how many trade lines you have. Joe can get into that. So that gentleman who called, he doesn't fully understand the system. If you're in thinking to have good credit, you have to owe somebody money, that's not correct. There's no other ways to do it other than owing people money.
All right. Okay. Let's let Joe respond to the caller, and then we'll go back to the five things you need to know about building your credit.
Well, definitely you don't have to owe anybody, but what they want to know, if you have the ability to repay people. If you're getting credit to buy things that you can't afford, that is not the purpose of credit. That's when it comes to education. See, so many people think, like, oh, I got a credit card, I'm going to go get this, I'm going to go. That's not the purpose of credit. You're going to ruin yourself. Uh-huh. And, when we consult people, we let them know, we're going to get your credit to a position probably where it's never been before. This is not the time to go wild, because you will put yourself in a hole deeper than you ever
got. I can't go ball out right now.
No, you can't ball out. I mean, I have a client that we got over $300,000 worth of business credit and credit cards. And he came from not even having a $5,000 credit card. Mm. But now is the time. Hey, don't go crazy. You got 300 grand. And so many times, us as a people and people in general, if I had this, if I had that, I would start this, I would do this, I could do this. What we do is give you the opportunity to do that. Mm-hmm. We put you in that position. Yeah, now you got $250,000. What are you going to do? Mm-hmm. Use that to generate more income, mm-hmm, then you won't lose. So many people never have the opportunity to fulfill their dreams due to lack of finance.
That's true.
But it's always right there in their grasp, because if you get their credit right, they'll give them that money. But back to the five things. The second thing was exactly what you had mentioned before.
Okay, so hold on. Let's repeat the first thing. The first thing was...
The first thing is payment history.
Right. 35%.
35% of your score. You got to understand, you have a credit report and a credit score. Two totally different things. A lot of people don't get that. Two totally different things. Your credit report is just a list of your financial history. Your score analyzes that history, which is done by an independent company, mm-hmm, after going over your report. And then they score that. And that score is only to show the likeliness of how much you will repay the loan, okay, if you'll be able.
Thanks for telling us.
No problem. The second thing is credit utilization. Okay? Credit utilization. You should not use no more than 30% of your credit. That's like the cutoff. So if you have a $10,000 credit limit, do not use more than $3,000. You can use it all. Let me correct that. You can use it all, but don't carry a balance of no more than 30%. Once you get over 30%, your score will drop. Boom. Just like that. It'll drop fast. The third thing is the length of credit history. Ideally, the perfect history is 10 years plus. Anybody that got an 850 perfect score, you got to have a minimum of 10 years of credit history on your credit report. And that's where a lot of the young people lose out at. I mean, if you're 23, it's like, hey, how can I have that length of credit history? But it's possible. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, it's possible, because everything is an algorithm today. It's just metrics. It's put into a computer. Hey, I've got 20 years old with 15 years of credit history. How is that possible? Mm-hmm. Okay. The third thing is your inquiries. How many times you inquire about credit. That compromises about 10% of your score.
Why?
I think that's ridiculous, first of all.
Oh, I'm on that bandwagon. That is absolutely... It is gangster. they hold your credit score on the debt slavery and corporate plantations. They hold your credit score.
You gotta preach, Sam.
I'm preaching it now. I hate this. And they keep it hostage. They keep your credit score hostage. And when you go to find out what the hell it is, then they hit you with more bad credit.
Yeah, what's up with that?
They hate us because they hate us.
That's not what it is.
Yes, it is.
And real quick, Joe, because I know people don't know about, but could you go into the hard inquiries versus soft inquiries as well?
Okay, that's most definitely. See, soft inquiries, when you check your credit yourself, it's a soft inquiry. There is no penalty for that. There is no point when you pull your own credit report. Anytime you're trying to access funds from somebody, this is a hard inquiry, okay? And the reason this stays on your credit report for 2 years. When people repetitively look for credit, now minus the mortgage industry and the car industry. Mm-hmm. Now, when you apply for a car loan or a mortgage, you have 14 days in general. You can slam as many inquiries in there as you want because they know that you're shopping for the best mortgage rate or the best car rate. Ah. So they hit you with one inquiry for that.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Even if, so we just went and purchased a new car and the first car we got.
Hope your credit's good.
Had some problems. And so we took that car back and got another car. And so they kind of, I guess, had to go back through the process again for the second car.
Was it within the 14 days?
It was like within, 48 hours.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah,
that's fine.
Then that's no problem. Okay. Because they know you're going to shop that for the best deal.
So if you are, that's the, one of the best advices. If you are car shopping or home shopping, when they run your, it's best to do it within 2 weeks instead of, that didn't work. Let me wait 2 more months. Mm-hmm. Boom. Then you get hit again with another hard inquiry. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
So what about when you're going to get a job, though? And or somebody else, you get a background check. There are a lot of reasons why you got to get a background check, but they do that. They're going to start. Do they check your credit report on that?
For jobs, normally it'd be a soft inquiry.
Oh, okay.
Here's a rule of thumb. If they ask you for your last 4 years social, it's probably going to be a soft inquiry. Okay. Mm. If they ask you for your full one, it's on. And you got to be careful because you get a lot of these things in the mail, these pre-approved credit cards. If you don't know, you can always opt out of that. These small credit bureaus, Credit Karma, stuff like that. These are all companies. You have to understand the credit bureaus themselves are for-profit companies. Mm-hmm. People get scared of these things like, the credit bureau. This is a McDonald's. This is a Walmart. They're there to make money. And they're making money off of us and our credit scores.
Wow.
Every time you get one of those things in the mail, they've sold your score saying, hey, well, Joe's got up to a 620. He's probably ready for this secured card. Let's get it to him at a 19.5% interest rate and a $69 a year annual fee.
Mm.
My score is like Jay-Z, 444. Why are they still sending me stuff?
No, it's a joke.
No, it's not.
But the key thing is in this is with your credit, you don't buy things that for one that you can't afford. And for two, I advocate and I try to teach everybody I counsel, if you use your credit, buy things that is going to make you money.
Appreciate.
Not a house. Okay? Houses are good. Don't get me wrong, I own my house. But buy things that's gonna help you pay that credit back. If you buy that house for $500,000, unless you're renting it out as a rooming house or a nursing facility, it's not going to produce income for you. Mm. Take your credit and purchase income-producing assets.
Give us some examples of those.
Commercial property.
Okay.
Commercial property. That's like I was about to rent an Airbnb, rent an apartment, $3,000 overlooking the overlooking the water. Just going to rent that out to Airbnb. That was going to pay that bill.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't going to pay it. It's going to pay the bill, put money in my pocket. It's several things people to buy and sell on eBay, people that want to run a store, any type of business where you're going to rotate and flip that money and keep that cash coming in. Hey, don't spend the cash out your pocket. Use your money. Use somebody else's money. That's the key.
Good.
Would you advocate someone like, for example, I have a business. I have my own law firm. So, let's say someone has a business, I'm not sure using that. Not necessarily just like a capital loan for the business, but then also, let's say, paying employees, marketing, promotion, or someone wants to get a bar, lounge, something like that. With using credit to get those things started, or a restaurant, would you advise that or not?
Well, I wouldn't advise using your personal credit
for that.
I would advise using business credit.
Business credit.
Which, if you don't pay, will affect your personal credit as well. But with business credit, it's so many more things you can do with it. without it affecting your personal credit, as long as you keep those minimum payments.
Great. Thank you for that. Let's go to Facebook Live, and we're going to come back. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with Joe with number four and number five of facing your credit.
Yeah, so Facebook Live, we have James that actually called in from Facebook Live. I asked the question as far as what credit score do you feel is safe or is reasonable to try to, you know, strive and attain? And James stated 750. And Amy's online, and she's asking Joe, how many times a year should she check her credit?
You should at minimum. Me personally, I advocate check it every month.
Really?
Yes. Because of the fact, we stay in Tampa. You know what's going out here. Mm-hmm. Identity theft is rampant, okay? You might not even know it, but 6 months ago, you have people running up stuff on your bills and your credit cards, and now you're going to get that card just like you went to go get. Mm-hmm. And they telling you, oh, I'm sorry, DT, you owe $10,000 in these credit cards. We ain't gonna be able to get you that
card.
So,
no, my name's Jay-Z. You don't believe me? Call Val Trinder.
But believe it or not, only 56% of Americans check their credit score at least once a year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the other 44%, they're scared.
Wow.
They don't want to. And believe it or not,
scared of what? Scared of?
They scared to see what it is.
Yeah,
well, ask anybody what their credit score is. Either they don't know or they don't want
to
know.
A lot of people scared to even check their own bank account because of what they're gonna see.
Right?
Maybe I'm negative. The opposite. Right. I mean, you know, I just recently bought a car in December, but I go on Credit Karma. Sometimes I be on there like 3 or 4 times a day. Sometimes
I go on there.
I mean, I check my credit probably 20 times a month, just because I'm always looking for different things to build my score up, or looking for whether it be different business loans.
Yeah.
Like I got American Express credit card, which is great because it's zero APR, and I'm realizing that it's like a other card.
You're educated.
Yeah,
You're educated.
That American is that's where it's
so
at.
So that Credit Karma thing is does that create a soft hit on your?
That doesn't create any hits on you. I would have actually.
That's a third party.
It's
company,
a third
right?
party
who's inquiring about your credit.
They're inquiring and they're making money off you.
Okay. Mm.
That's why they want you to sign up. That's why they're putting on commercials. They want you to sign up and check your credit report, because when you get those things in the mail, guess where they come from? They come from Credit Karma. You can always opt out of that, which I always recommend. Okay. I don't want nobody making money off of me,
mm-hmm.
not for no reason.
Right.
So I would always
opt out of it. Where?
You can write a letter.
Okay.
Or a lot of times on a site, you could just say, hey, you know, I want to opt out of these promotions.
It should be an opt-in, but the default is an opt-out.
Right.
Yeah. That's cool.
And
that's good information, because automatically if you're on there, you're probably already in the fact that you are going to get hit with promotions and stuff like that, unless you go specifically looking for where's the opt-out. Mm-hmm. But
well, not only that, but if you can, a lot of times you can't use these apps or these programs or anything like that if you don't sign the terms of agreement, right?
Right.
The terms
right.
and conditions.
And
when you go, and who reads us? They're 40, 50 pages long, and it's all legalese. Nobody likes that.
Right.
But always in there, it says, we reserve the right to sell your personal information to third parties.
Yeah, we appreciate that. Listen, we're going to go to a quick break. We want to come back and talk about what's going on. We've got some more things on Facebook Live. And go ahead.
Can I say something to the folks on Facebook Live? I want to thank you. I see we got 14 shares.
Yeah.
Already. And that's a lot of shares. A lot of folks on Facebook Live are sharing this conversation. So that means that this conversation is really resonating.
They need to share more, because this information can really, really change their lives.
Share it again. Hit the share button again. Hit the share button again, and tell the people who you're sharing it to share it as well.
Right.
Because we're trying to educate people. Good morning and welcome to the Urban Cafe.
Good morning, this is DT. I'm here with the Urban Cafe on 88.5 WMNF.
But in the building today, we have Jamal.
Hold on, stop. Let me turn it off. Okay. Yeah. So,
good morning, Sam.
Good morning, this is Sam. Is my mic on? Hello? Hello, world.
It's on.
It's on. Okay.
We have Tina Marie Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning.
Hello. Facebook Live is literally all the way up.
And it's expensive to bury somebody.
How did we jump there?
Well, that's the bottom line. I know we all have to go.
Nia's in the building. She's holding down the phone.
It is important, and I'm glad you brought that up, because it's a two-way street, and there's a positive part of it, and there's a negative part of it.
Our new intern from UT.
Yay!
We got Sydney.
Phil. I don't like Phil like that.
Way over there in Germany. And, of course, good morning, Valtrenda.
Good morning.
Well, Welcome to the number one show in the worst time slot, this year.
Go ahead, grab your juice, grab your donuts, grab your coffee. Come back to the table as we get ready to start a great morning here on the Urban Cafe.
Arranging a planned gift using your IRA or retirement plan is a great way to ensure the future of WMNF. For more information on how to leave a legacy of love for WMNF, contact Gene Moore at 813-238-8001 or email gene@wmnf.org.
The best of the Urban Cafe right here on 88.5 WMNF Tampa. Enjoy some of the highlights from the number one show.
If this is different from the natural, just the natural plant of marijuana, because when he says enhanced, that makes me think that it's something added to it. This man-made, it's synthetic.
That's exactly
or something
what
like
it
that.
Is.
That's
that so. Is that the key to this entire conversation?
Okay, just take this immediately as your starting point. Understand that anything that is regulated by the government in terms of what you things you ingest, you put into your body, the FDA is involved, right? Federal Department of Agriculture. Now, there is a science division within the FDA. We're not talking conspiracy now. We're just we're just laying out the facts because this is going to a very, very layered issue. Like, his issues are going to be completely different. Because we're talking about its impact and how it's forced into communities. And there's already a model for that with the crack epidemic that, you know, everybody called the conspiracy for so long. But all of the players have written books about it. And they're like, yes, we did it.
Yeah, we did it, right?
They realized, like, it was 35 years ago and we can make money off of it now and we can't be held liable. Right. So you have to understand, absolutely. The marijuana that your mama smoked in the 60s is not the marijuana that is for sale today.
It's not reefer.
It's not. It's, right. Yeah. No. That's what it was. Your mom. Your dad. Yeah. Your grandma. Your grandpa. Your uncle Willie Nelson. They used to smoke a little reefer. Yeah. Okay. This little stuff bad. That they have now at these dispensaries, the cannabinoid levels are so high, and it's the same way that they have folks who are experts at everything. They have people who are experts in weed. They crossbreed. Mm. They make hybrids. Mm. They have different pollination techniques. And all of these things alter the chemical makeup of each individual that smokes it, because we're all so different genetically.
And we're
very similar genetically, but we're also very diverse genetically.
And that's
the way
why
that these things, the different fertilizers that they use, the different waters that they use, there are so many things that go into play with the marijuana that you think that you have. And you will notice that there are people in places that smoke totally different types of weed.
Oh, yes.
Like, if we go around the corner in this black neighborhood, the weed that they have is not the weed that they're smoking at Channelside. Okay? It's totally different distributors. Mm-hmm. We're talking about Kentucky weed, Mexican weed, foreign weed. Like, and they have groups of people and suppliers who supply certain types of weed to certain people.
Sam, you were going to say something, right?
A couple of things. One, living in Holland, I've seen all kinds of weed, all kinds of THC, your sativas and your indicas. I've seen them and known them all. And there is a truth to you don't know what you're ingesting, but that's true of just about any drug. And we don't, when you talk about pharmaceuticals, at least you have an idea of what it's going to do. But every person is different, and the same thing is true with recreational weed. I'm not sure if I understand the influence that it's being forced on the black community or the Latino community. If I recall correctly, that back in 1936, when it wasn't a Schedule I drug, but it was then pushed and into the illegal realm of drugs, it was done, I think, because there's an absolute fear of blackness in America, and this was one of the reasons that we had this massive war on marijuana. But before that, it was certainly used in the black and Latino and jazz community. So I'm not sure if I don't understand the Limbo, hold on. Look, one second before you take the mic from me. But I don't. I'm not,
well, I think I'm just going to stop you because I never brought up a point about it being forced on the black man. I think you just kind of manufactured that.
That's what he didn't say.
Yeah, I was a soliloquy about a point I never made. He was just trying to rescue you.
My humble apology, but I heard you say him, and I just. Being the only white guy in the room, I sometimes pull it off myself.
No, you never known. Jamal has a comment. Go ahead, Jamal.
Well, yeah, that just to set up things, Mr. Muhammad, he's a pastor. I guess you could say a reverend Nation of Islam, has a master's degree, PhD in religion. But that clip you have is part of a longer 2-hour clip. I watched most of it. Just didn't have the time to finish it. But the big thing is, in that clip, the point he's really trying to make overall is that there's scientists who had done research, and what he was stating is that the chemical that they're putting in there is specifically only is affecting melanated people. And that's what's even deeper. I mean, it's going to take some time really to analyze everything like that. But that's
where I was going. I was trying to make a nice logical so everybody can follow it, because this conversation is going to go places that a lot of people just aren't aware of. And then you brought up the largest point that I wanted to get to. It's not about forcing drugs on anyone, but you manipulate them. I'll give you an example. If we go to a corner store over here, there are products that are available. Nobody's forcing black people to buy those products, but those are the only products available to them. You're going to see red soda, orange soda. If you go into a black, there's going to be a whole wall of flavored blunts and things that actually, and it's not even the marijuana a lot of times, it's the things that they smoke the weed out of. And if you go into a Wawa, they're not going to have certain things there. They're not going to sell certain products. They're going to make them available to the people who they want to purchase them. So that's what we're talking about, is, you know, options and what is available, access and opportunity. And when he's talking about melanin, we are absolutely now talking about genetics, and this is absolutely 100% true. On a very basic level, if you're talking about high blood pressure, which most African-American men over the age of 40 have, the number one blood pressure medicine in the United States is lisinopril. Now, lisinopril works fine for most white folks. Like it's great. For African Americans, however, because of our genetic makeup and the high melanin content that we have, lisinopril has been known to cause explosive swelling in the face. I'm talking about cartoonish ballooning of the lips so that they, you know, even cover the nostrils and the bite, like, and they've got, you can go anybody, if you're at home right now, Google African Americans and lisinopril, lisinopril, like that. And so, well, you know how the pharmaceuticals go. Look up lisinopril effects on blacks, and you will see pictures of how these drugs are destroying black people much more than the blood pressure itself.
And the bad thing about it is that's what's only available to them.
Exactly. So when we're talking about the marijuana, they are absolutely creating strains and hybrids that are great for some people, but for African Americans and our genetic makeup, not a conspiracy, not a the white man. No. This is science.
Right.
We are affected by our melanin the way that we are affected with the sun and all of these other things. There are people who take advantage of and exploit the melanin content in our skin.
But how come that's not affecting people of the subcontinent of India or
who said it's not?
Well, I'm just asking.
No, so you said how come it's not.
But I haven't heard that, though. That's because
you're in St. Petersburg, Florida, and we're talking about the African-American community.
I'm just talking local
melanin. If you want to talk about another country or continent, we can do that as well, because they've done those studies. They actually did a marijuana study in London on Caribbean blacks who migrated there.
Yeah, but then again, we're still talking about African DNA. I'm talking.
There's no such thing. There's no other DNA but African DNA.
Well, I'm not going to go. Okay.
So that's why we're talking specifically about people.
Okay, but I'm talking mitochondrial DNA.
That's fine.
All right, it's a different HEPO group that's split off. Okay, and some of those in the subcontinent of India have a large amount of melanin,
and they'll be affected the same way that we are. Don't derail the conversation.
You say melanin, and there are other populations that have a different DNA makeup that also have a large melanin. I'm just trying to see if this is is all true. I want to make sure we don't delve too deeply into a conspiracy.
But it's not a conspiracy. That's what we're saying. You're a complete and utter lack of wanting to follow logic because you want to derail the conversation.
I am following logic.
No, that's you just say, point. Oh, it's not about the genetic makeup. Actually, no,
it is totally about the genetic makeup. I'm saying it's not necessarily about the melanin makeup.
Yes, and it is.
There's
it's
a difference.
It's both. It
can't be both. That's illogical.
You
have cause and effect here. You don't have cause and effect.
Science because
I'm not derailing science. I'm trying to use the logical process of going A is a causality and it gives us.
Sir, I'm going to do this. I don't do this often.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
But I'm dead serious about it because if I'm going to stay here, you need to understand this. I debate my equals, all others I teach. Mm-hmm. You're being taught. You should be silent until we understand the full scope of what's happening because melanin and genetic makeup are very closely interlinked. You try to bring up mitochondrial DNA as if you're saying something I don't understand. DNA is what makes us. What enables us to understand humanity, mitochondrial DNA is what tells us that the, what you call the sub-Indian or whatever, the black woman of the sub-Saharan desert has all mitochondrial DNA and could actually repopulate the entire planet with the mitochondrial DNA diversity just within her body. And that is also linked to the high melanin count of the original woman who was an African. So I'm not going to have these debates about Indians being dark because they're African people. Right. I'm not going to have debates about anybody that is browner than you because they're all African descended people. And we're talking about scientists who know this. They make careers out of it. It is a billion-dollar industry manipulating melanin from skin bleaching products in India, which Indians use, which has tampered with their genetic makeup. And now they're three generations deep into skin bleaching. And now their children are being born with birth defects because of the way the melanin being stripped from their body has affected them. Yeah. So I'm not going to go there with you trying to be a contrarian and call things conspiracy. We're talking about science. So let's get back to the root of the issue. Okay. He was talking about
a lot of people don't know that in medicine, sometimes we use cocaine to put on wounds. There's this stuff called TAC. The C stands for cocaine. And this tetracaine is a combination that's used to put on wounds.
Our pharmacists don't generally know much about medical marijuana. So to put it in the pharmacy this early without the FDA regulations, the doctor will recommend it. And they'll say, well, you have Crohn's disease, so this is an alternative for you. And then the person would go to a specialist. And that would be your modern pharmacist.
What can you do in 10 minutes that can make a difference in your community? How about donating your car, boat, or motorcycle to WMNF? We'll pick up the vehicle, running or not, and you'll get a tax receipt. Free towing as well. Just call 1-888-966-3885. That's 1-888-966-3885. Thanks for supporting WMNF, your source for homegrown and handpicked music and news. Now back to the show.
It's the best of the Urban Cafe right here on 88.5 WMNF.
Talk about the topic you guys talked about last week. I just want to just touch on it very little briefly. It's about melon. A lot of people think melon just relates to skin tone. Melon is so much more. Melon is the color, the brownness in your eyes. That's melon. So the darker your eyes, the more melanin you have in there. What we know as like pretty eyes, the gray and the blue, the green, they have less melanin. And what you're actually looking at is the veins and arteries and muscles in the back of the eye. That's what you're looking at. That's why people have light colored eyes. When they go out in the sunlight, they got to put sunglasses on. And melanin is the thing that's wrapped around all your nerves. It works with your organs. And one of the key things that the more melanin you have, the more nutrients you're going to need because they carry a lot of information. Because that's what nerves do. They carry information from the organ to the brain and back down. So the problem is that when we go to the doctor as African people, because according to Johns Hopkins University, they classify race from with how much melanin you have. And from 6 is the highest, that's African people, and to 1 is the lowest, is Europeans. And the problem is that the medical world is set up based off one scale with the less, with Europeans. So if an African person go to the doctor and they get their blood work and they come back and your numbers look good, but you don't feel good, it's because you're sick, because you're trying to live healthy under the wrong guideline.
He's on point with some of that.
So hold on,
yeah,
but okay, so I don't know if I've been saying it wrong or Jerome said it.
Jerome's saying it wrong.
It's melanin, right?
Melanin. Right, but everybody say melanin just to break it down.
When you say melanin, I think about watermelon.
You would think about
strawberry.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah,
watermelon.
Okay. Yeah, it's melanin.
I'm not the only one that's out there. Thank you.
It controls your wake-sleep pattern. So people having a problem sleeping, it controls your the rhythm, like when your hair gray, when people get ready to go into puberty and all those different things.
Jerome, let me break in here real quickly. Okay. I want to make sure we don't confuse melanin with melatonin.
Right.
They're two different things.
Okay, so, now, here's the thing.
All right,
melatonin is like a precursor to melanin. So they all tied in. They're not separate.
Mm. That's
well,
a lot of people don't know that.
It's two stages. It's like saying a baby, a boy, and then a man. But it's still one person.
Well, it's my understanding that melanin actually has three different types of melanin.
That's correct.
Right? And so everyone has the same amount of melanocytes, and those are the little cells that actually control the pigment that's released as melanin, right? And when they get agitated, so people that have higher degrees of other types of melanin get the melanin, but everyone has an equal opportunity to get brown.
No, because your people burn.
No, the reason
but if you stay out long enough, you'll get brown. You'll get cancer.
How the pineal gland works, which is what you guys call the third eye. Yeah. And the reason why they call it the third eye, because it has rods and cones, just like your eyeball has, and it's connected to the same nerves that your eyeballs are connected to. That's why it activate off light. And for it to activate your third eye, we call the third eye to activate, it got to be in complete darkness.
So that's where meditation comes in.
Right.
Well,
at night, when you go to sleep, you shouldn't sleep with the TV on. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't sleep with no type of light. That's why I say don't have your phone on, because it disrupts your pineal gland, which they call the third eye.
But the pineal gland, I think, is the one that sets the melatonin, right? That helps you lull you into sleep. And it has some correlation, I think, with the serotonin level, which also helps you.
Yes, another precursor. Serotonin, dopamine, melatonin, and it all comes from the pineal gland. That's why when they tell you serotonin is a comfortable part in the brain, but they never tell you which organ or which gland it comes from. And see,
why don't they say that? Why are they omitting that?
Because the system we're under, for whatever reason, I don't know this reason why, but Europeans' pineal glands start calcifying around teenage years, and by the time they're 28 to 30 years old, it's fully calcified, 80% of the Europeans. And ours don't do that. Ours will calcify, black people will calcify if we do something to it, like taking in too much fluoride will calcify. If you're not getting enough magnesium in your system and you're getting a bunch of calcium, it's going to do it because your thyroid is not going to grab it because it needs calcium and magnesium to grab it to send it down to the bones.
Wow. Every time I talk to you, bro, I'm amazed at how much you dived into this and the source of information you have. Jamal has a question.
Yes. What's a good pH level for water? Because I believe if it gets too high, it's not good, correct?
Right.
Also, the ginkgo
biloba.
But be sure you check that with your physician, because those kind of over-the-counter herbs, right, they interact with other drugs you may be taking.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I agree with you on that, but a lot of people have issues with over-the-counter medicine because we're not synthetic people. We are organic people, so we need organic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's one thing you know.
So one thing I would like for you to do, Jerome, is when you're saying like our people or us or something, just specify so that our listeners, know exactly who you're talking about.
Sometimes you sound like a white boy.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, Jerome, we got some comments from Facebook, and we got some phone calls. We want to keep you online in case you can answer their questions as well.
Yeah. Okay, thanks. Sure.
And Jerome, actually, I have a question in regards to you were mentioning about different things and how it can affect mood swings and things like that. But how does the pineal gland interact or affect the thyroid? Since we're talking about these different things,
because it's your main gland, it's the master gland. For a long time, the medical world has thinking that the pituitary gland was the main gland, but it actually is your pineal gland. That's your main gland that communicates with everything and sends everything out. Because if you look up, that's why serotonin is like one of the main, that's your get up and go. Make you want to go and do things and make you want to do that. So a lot of kids that have been diagnosed with ADHD or what ADD or ADHD,
mm-hmm.
really they're serotonin, they're hyper. So you need to right. find another way how to
balance it all out.
Exactly, because what happened is that the more melanin you have, the more melatonin, I forgot you said, you have, the more you learn in many different ways. The less you have, the more structure. So when you have a common core curriculum, it hurts kids who have a lot of melatonin because they're stuck in a box of learning and they're not being creative.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you again, Jerome. We're going to take some phone calls who might have some comments or questions in response to what we're talking about. So we want you to stay on so that you can answer them if need be, okay?
Okay.
All right. We're going to go to our first caller. Caller, are you there?
Hello.
Hi. How are you? What's your name and where are you calling from?
Are you talking to me?
I am.
Oh my God. I didn't know I was on the air. Yeah. I was just listening to you all.
Yeah, it's okay. Let me tell you, for those that are listening, we don't have our phone screener here today. So when we answer the phone, you will be immediately on air. So tell us what's your name and where you're
calling. Gotcha.
It's all right. So
I'm calling you from Sarasota, Florida.
All right, Sarasota.
Jackie Woods.
All right,
and
Jackie.
I was listening, and I'm an ex-pharmaceutical rep, and I'm retired from pharmaceuticals. But I think you're an awesome team. I'm so impressed with the subject matter because it is so important for us as a people to educate our listeners or people on the differences in what chemicals do to your body in terms of balance. And the young man, I want to applaud him, even though he did call melatonin. I was so happy to see the team effect of correcting so that you all are also accurate because the information is so valuable. Keep on doing what you're doing, and I'm so proud of you.
Let's go.
You know, you have those people who you are friends with. You're only getting information from them that's business related, especially those that are business owners or radio hosts or different things like that. And you want to get information from them and you want to send them information. Also, exchanging information, just particularly, you know, business stuff. Say you have a professional friendship with the opposite sex. That's very controversial with that. I have a lot of different professional relationships that are only professional. There's no friendship. We cool. But we're just exchanging information, right. You know, and you know, some people will try to cross that line,
mm-hmm.
but you got to be careful about that. When you first meet someone, the first impression, you want to definitely do that. You want to stay professional. You want to always have your business cards with you. Shake a person's hand very firmly, things like that. Following up is very important. Give out thank you cards. You know, if somebody comes to your networking event, you want to make sure you acknowledge those people.
WMNF Tampa.
Cafe right here on 88.5 WMNF. Sean's on the line with us. Good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, good morning. It's such a pleasure to be able to have you call into the Urban Cafe. Thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. We appreciate that.
No, of course. Of course. I'm up here in Tallahassee, and after I get off the phone with you all, I'm going to do a little fishing and then do a little grilling and watch the Super Bowl.
All right. So give us the Tallahassee report. What's going on up there?
Well, what we're doing now is what we call committee week. So every member of the Florida House of Representatives is on, for the most part, five committees. And those committees meet on a regular basis prior to the actual session starting. And during these committee weeks, our committees meet. So I'm on the Insurance Banking Committee, Commerce Committee, Energy and Utilities Committee, Government Operations Appropriations Committee, and the Civil Justice Committee. So those committees will meet, discuss legislation, hear presentation on important issues involving that committee, and we'll do that until session starts. And then when session starts is when we start actually passing bills.
Hello, Representative Shaw. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing, Sam?
I'm all right. Hey, listen, I know you touched on it just a bit, but what are some of the things that you're, like, most excited for as far as legislation goes that you think, coming up in the next session, that you really think that either you can get through or needs to get through?
I really think criminal justice reform, both juvenile and adult. You know, we send too many people to jail for offenses simple possession, nonviolent offenses that should not be going to jail. They should be doing some kind of diversionary program. And we certainly charge too many juveniles as adults. And we need to be having alternatives to incarceration and alternatives to getting juveniles in the system, because we all know once you're in the system, that's a problem. And in fact, unfortunately, Hillsborough County is a county that does not do a good job of taking advantage of some of these already existing programs, civil citations, those sorts of things. So I am very hopeful that we are going to be able to pass some sort of criminal justice reform where we attack this in a smart way and we stop sending people straight to prison for simple possession, and we start trying to make sure that we have alternatives to jail for juveniles, whether it be drug court, whether it be civil citation, whether it be community service, other type things like that.
Yes, hi, Mr. Shaw. This is Attorney Jamal Chapman. I know I came to meet with you with Tina a couple times and everything. Regarding the criminal...
Where is Tina?
In New York!
Oh, my goodness. I heard y'all, somebody had the shot fired on her about her age. She's going to get on y'all when she comes back.
You know it. Yes, sir. I had a quick question regarding the criminal reform